Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. Happy Halloween. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. So I just had the scariest thing happen to me on the spookiest of Halloweens.
I was going to say, did a ghost pop out at you? What happened?
No, you got a push notification from my bank account saying a whole bunch of money was withdrawn, but it's okay because it's for my new iPad.
Oh, no. Okay. Before we get into this, do I want to bury the lead, or do we want to just go out and say which one you bought right off the bat?
I really hate it when people bury the lead, so I think we should talk about it, because I think I might accidentally slip up, because there's a few things we're going to be talking about here that I kind of want to reference too.
Okay. So, for those of you who haven't been listening, there was a new iPad event that came out, and new iPads were announced, among other things, that we might get into or might not, but we're absolutely going to get into the iPad, for sure we're going to get in there. Chris has been, as soon as we kind of got an idea that new iPads were coming, before, what was it, WWDC, we thought there was going to be some that came?
Well, we thought maybe in March, but that was too soon, so probably WWDC, then no, okay, maybe September, not September, okay, maybe October. It's been a roller coaster of a year emotionally for me.
And every so often you kept sending me stuff of like, I think I want the big one. I think I want the small one now. I think I want the big one now. Small it is. Big one for sure. Small one for sure.
For like 2 weeks, I text you every day.
So you bought ones, which means you've made up your mind, essentially.
Made up my mind.
Oh, God. You made a purchase. Which one did you get?
I did make a purchase. Okay. So what I bought. So funny story here. Apple events happening. I'm frantically, like, they get done with the iPad section, I look at the Apple newsroom area to kind of see if there's any other tidbits in there, pricing, stuff like that. I'm frantically refreshing the Apple store. Also, all of a sudden it comes up, it was before the musical guest came on. I don't even remember who that was. Don't care. Wasn't my cup of tea.
Lana Del Rey.
Okay. Didn't know who that was.
People like Lana Del Rey, man. She's a great singer.
Hey, if you were a singer, like, and your heyday wasn't in the 80s or earlier, I don't know who you were. So, or are. So I'm frantically refreshing. App Store comes up. Great. I'm super excited. I'm super in. Have Twitter up too. Nobody else realizes the Apple Store's up. I'm like, yes, I'm one of the first ones in. I'm getting it day one. So I look at it and I see the pricing. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, yeah. It went up a lot. So for those that don't know, the iPad Pros basically went up $150 for each SKU. $150 to $200 for each SKU. The accessories went up. The Apple Pencil went up $30. The keyboard went up like $40 or $50, kind of depending on which one you're getting. It went up a lot.
Yeah.
So my whole plan, if you remember correctly, there was a rumor about a 1 terabyte model, and I was all over that. I was like, hands down, 1 terabyte model, that's what I'm getting. I have the 512 one right now, of the 12.9. I've had storage issues the last couple months. It kept filling up. I kept having to delete stuff and re-adding it. Crazy issues with it. I eventually just wiped it earlier and reinstalled everything, and that fixed it. So I knew I was going to go for the terabyte one, and I knew I wanted the gold one. Well, there's no gold model of the new iPad Pros, and the 1 terabyte one is ridiculously expensive. So I wasn't expecting them to go up as much as they did, so I ended up going with the 256 one. And looking at where my storage is now, I kind of have a nice base area because I'm in between video projects and in between podcast projects right now, so I don't have anything major sitting on my hard drive. And I'm using about 60 gigs right now. So I think I mostly do 1 to 2 video projects at a time, and rarely do I do 2 podcasts at a time. So I think 256, if I manage everything right, it should be fine, and I'll probably just have to wipe it every 6 months to a year, which probably isn't a bad idea considering how much I use this thing.
Okay, so we know the size.
So 256.
Tell me the color now. I want you to give me every bit of detail until you tell me what size it is.
Okay. So the color I went with, so you really have 2 options, silver or space gray. I'm not going to get silver, so I went with space gray. Space gray doesn't look too bad. It's nice. It's dark, which is nice. It's not like that light version of space gray. So space gray 256. The size, doing Foley work, I went with the 11-inch one.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I have some thinking behind this. I wanted, I thought the 11-inch one is going to be the one the majority of people get. I thought this is going to be the one that most of my subscribers and people that listen to me, they're going to be the ones that they're going to get this one. So I kind of wanted to take this one for a year, whatever, and use it and edit video on it, edit podcasts on it. I'm really curious if I'm going to hate it or not. It may end up going back, you know, after 2 days. Apple does have a 14-day return policy, so it could go back. But I'm excited about this. My huge caveat on this is probably in a couple months, maybe, you know, tax return time or something like that. I usually get a nice tax return. I will probably end up buying the 12.9 alongside it and live that hashtag multipad lifestyle.
Whoa, that's expensive.
It is incredibly – well, and that's not even the best part. So what we found out after the event about – and we're kind of jumping all over the place right now. What we
we'll come back to square one.
We'll go over everything in a bit. What we found out after the event and what I found out after I ordered mine, the 1 terabyte models have 6 gigs of RAM, whereas everything else, all the other smaller storage, have 4 gigs of RAM, and we don't know why that is. Me being a video editor, I want more RAM, so I may end up buying the 1 terabyte 12.9-inch iPad, just depending on savings and all that stuff at the time. That's a couple months away.
So it's October 31st right now. By the end of the year, here's my prediction for you. My prediction is that you will, in the next 2 months, have gotten your 11-inch, sent it back, got the 12-inch one, the 12.9-inch one, loved it, but you didn't pony up the extra cash for the 1 terabyte one, and you wish that you did, so you send that one back, and then you get the 1 terabyte one, so you have 6 gigs of RAM on that one. And now you're a happy boy because you had the big boy iPad and the huge hard drive that you never have to worry about size on, and it's got the highest RAM. I think you're going to go max out on this thing, and you won't be happy unless you do.
So the only thing I think you're wrong with there is I really want a smaller iPad right now. I've been wanting to sit down on the couch and play with shortcuts, edit video and stuff like that, and the 12.9-inch iPad Pro is too big for that. Even with these new ones with smaller volume and stuff like that, again, we'll get into that in a bit. But I think that is still too big to kind of sit down and hold in one hand and kind of play around with. So I think I will end up getting two, where I could see me like maybe doing something else is getting the low-end iPad. I don't know. Probably not, because I'm going to want something. I'm going to want it to look consistent across the board. So anyways, to recap, 11-inch, space gray, 256. I did get the Folio keyboard case, and I did get the Apple Pencil.
Oh, you went all out. Okay. All right.
Yep. Just because I use the Apple Pencil for video editing and podcast editing. If I wasn't using it for those two things, I probably would have waited to order it, maybe, you know, put it on the Christmas list or something. But because I use it for podcast editing and video editing, I figured it was enough justification. Plus, my most popular video ever is about the Apple Pencil, so I probably should do a follow-up to that with this new one. Mm. So, Jeff, I'm dying to know. You told me you were not going to buy anything. And I was telling you before we started recording, about 80 to 90% of me believes that. But there's a little nugget of me that's holding out and thinking, Jeff was bullshitting me. So, did you buy anything?
I have spent a total of $0 from this event.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I've decided that I'm not going to forego any money with this because I don't do as intensive work as you do with the iPad. I mean, I write a lot with it. I watch a lot of movies with it. I edit podcasts on it from time to time. But I still use my Mac for that stuff. And for those of you that don't know, a Mac is a lot like an iPad, but it's bigger and it's got a keyboard and worse keyboard. And there's other things that are wrong with it, but yeah, I use my Mac for a lot of things, and I still edit podcasts with it for the majority of time. I do a lot of web stuff with it from time to time on my website. But the iPad has been my workhorse for writing for the most part, and for just day to day use, I use that for the most part. And I don't really think that I need to upgrade to get the new iPad. I don't think that I need the new Apple Pencil. I barely use my Apple Pencil now. I will say, with the gestures on the new Apple Pencil, which, you know, Apple announced a new Apple Pencil and it looks really sleek and everything, but it has a double tap gesture on it where if you double tap, something happens in whatever app you're using, and app developers can actually customize it. And I think using a podcast editing tool like Ferrite with that double tap would be amazing to be able to customize. And so far, Ferrite has been one of the most customizable applications out there where you can customize every shortcut with any keyboard shortcut that you want. So I can imagine that they're going to be doing the same thing with the gesture as well. You can have the gesture either splice where the playhead is, or you can have it do something else, or, you know, who knows what. But it would be really nice to be able to be able to do that with an Apple Pencil that I have now. But alas, it's not the case. It's not backwards compatible, so I have to get a new iPad just to be able to use an Apple Pencil that has gestures on it. So I'm not going to do that. But to answer your question, Chris, I bought nothing with this. I'm not going to buy the iPad or a new MacBook Air or a MacBook or a Mac Mini or anything. I have no intention of buying anything. And I think I'm going to be good for this year.
Okay. No, I respect that. I respect that. Trust me, my bank account wishes I didn't spend money because there's a big difference in it right now.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Yeah. Okay. But I was thinking, let's kind of go through what was announced. I kind of wanted to get into the more, I know a lot of podcasts have said, hey, there's a new iPad Pro out, new screen, new design, great. But I kind of wanted to get into some more details about the iPad, some pros and cons of it, some stuff that I don't think a lot of people have talked about, especially like right after the event, because I think they're usually right after the event, everyone's scrambling to get information. And there's like this 2-hour window where a bunch of information comes out after an event that isn't said during the keynote. So I think we can kind of go through a bunch of that. I think there's a lot of stuff that's come out and between yesterday and today that I think we should cover. So let's kind of get into it.
Yeah. So first off, Tim Cook came out and they had a short video about how much they love New York. And I was expecting them to go more in depth about what the Brooklyn Academy of Music Theater means to them and things like that, which they did during the Chicago event for the iPad thing. They spent like 12 minutes or something like that going over the place where they did the Chicago event for the new iPads for schools. But I think that was more for filler. And clearly today they did not need to fill the time. There was plenty of things that had to be announced and very little time to do it. And, you know, after like a quick video that Tim had presented, they went right in and they announced a new MacBook Air with retina display, and instead of any, and the only IO that it has on it now is two USB-C ports.
Thunderbolt 3.
Oh, your Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato, I mean, but
well,
I
get what you're saying. Not
okay,
really,
okay. We don't have time to get into this.
Yeah, let's breeze through this Mac part because I want to get to some iPads.
Yeah, so they announced a new MacBook Air. It's still got the wedge style. It's got a smaller bezel for the screen. It looks a lot like the MacBook Escape, except it's still wedge style, and it only has two Thunderbolt 3 ports, and that's it. And the specs on it have upgraded significantly to what it was before. Personally, I think this is what the MacBook Escape was meant to be, and I just don't think that they had engineered or had it completely finalized yet for the MacBook Air, so they made the MacBook Escape as a way to kind of combat it.
I slightly disagree with that. So the MacBook Escape has a higher performance CPU in it. It's
right.
It's more powerful. It's more beefy. So if for editing podcasts, I would not recommend getting a MacBook Air. I'd recommend getting a MacBook Escape.
Which is what I have and what I use. And
exactly.
I'm happy with my decision on that. I don't really regret not waiting for the MacBook Air. I have had a MacBook Air prior to this. I love that thing to death. It's a great, great computer, and I always will enjoy that computer. And I gave it to my fiance Courtney after I got my new MacBook Escape, and it still works great. But I think that the MacBook Pro that I have now, which is the entry-level MacBook Pro with no touch bar, I think that was the best computer for me, and it's still the one I use for the most part when it comes to doing podcasting and editing and anything that's CPU intensive or something that I can't really do on my iPad or something that I'm more familiar with on a Mac over an iPad. I use this for that. And so the MacBook Air now is a retina screen, higher specs, and you know, it can go up to 16 gigs of RAM, which I thought was unheard of. And I think the MacBook Air prior to that used to be able to do that. Maybe it was only 8. Okay. So they've doubled the RAM capacity for it. And, I think it's going to be a great entry level Mac for new users and college students and, and maybe even enterprise stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's a great way to kind of enter in for people that are newcomers. But the price, Chris, was $1,199 if you don't remember, which I think was way above what they were aiming for. I thought they were trying to go for the $999 market because I think that's where they're lacking any kind of products that are worthwhile, because everything is above $1,000, and at that point, it's just a matter of how much more do you want to spend, you know? And I would have liked them to see the entry level price for the MacBook Air to be at $999, but you know, I guess beggars can't be choosers at this point.
Yeah, and I don't really have much to say about it. I was kind of like, I was fiddling around with Twitter and stuff during this because I really wasn't that interested in it. The Mac Mini was a little bit more interesting. I kind of miss having a Mac server, but my Mac Mini, which was the previous model from 2014, was way too slow to do anything with. So later on this year, maybe beginning of next year, I'm kind of flirting with the idea of picking up a Mac Mini, bumping up the specs a little bit, and maybe putting another server in place for, you know, file backups and Plex server and stuff like that. The one thing that caught me off guard with, actually there's two things that caught me off guard with the Mac Mini, 64 gigs of RAM and 10 gigabit Ethernet. Like,
yeah,
as a networking dude, like, woo, 10 gigabit Ethernet is nuts.
Yeah. Do you remember the keynote? There was a point they were talking about how you can have one as your daily machine, or you can have several for an editing machine, or you can have a whole server, and the entire crowd laughed when the guy was talking about having thousands of Mac Minis as a server room. And then he finally explained of like, no, this is exactly what Mac Stadium does. Like, everything they have there is Mac Minis, and that's what they use it for. And like, I just thought it was hilarious that people didn't even consider that being an option. They literally laughed in his face when he mentioned it.
No, I mean, they're absolutely a great server. Even if I had a small business or something like that, and I was running all Apple stuff, like I would do one of those or something. They're going to be a great computer. The one recommendation I would have is if you are going to buy one of these, max it out. Like, if you think like, hey, this amount of RAM or storage or something is going to be enough, bump it up a little bit higher. The RAM is not going to be easily, it's user replaceable, but it's not going to be easy to replace. You're going to have to take out the cooling vent. I'm sure iFixit will do a whole tear down of it, but it's not going to be easy to replace. It's going to be like how the hard drive was on the previous gen Mac Mini, which is funny because the hard drive on this one is now not replaceable. So they gave us replaceable RAM, but they didn't give us replaceable hard drive, which is kind of a bummer. But yeah, I don't have too much to say about the Macs. I'm harking to talk about some iPad stuff.
Oh, is that what we were going to talk about today? I forgot.
This is a show about the iPad.
Okay. I'll let you lead the way, Chris, since you are the person that I purchased it. You know, what happened today with the what happened the other day with the iPad event? And what's new with the new iPad? Like, why is it so cool?
So this is the keynote I've been waiting for. When the iPad got announced, I was jumping up and down in my chair. I should have done one of those reaction videos, but I kind of think those are lame, so I didn't. But I was jumping up and down in my chair. What was kind of exciting is the reveal. I love the design. So we have a whole new design. It's not bezel-less. I've been calling it minimal bezels. They did a really nice intro video of where they showed them shrinking the bezels on the 10.5 inch iPad, and then like them rounding off the corners. So the edges now, if you remember back to like the iPhone 5 or 4 era, where it was those kind of like straight metal corners and stuff like that, like it was so flat that you could stand the device up on its own. So they're going back to that, which I think looks beautiful. Somebody did a
concept. Oh, I love that design. I love it so much.
Somebody did a concept art of that, of the iPhone X with that design, and that looked nice. So that'd be cool to see that come over, but I don't think it will, but that's a whole nother discussion. The whole like redesign of the iPad is the iPad Pro has been something I've been looking forward to. This, if you look at the iPad, the front of it has basically been the same since the beginning of the iPad. Yeah, bezels have shrank. They've moved around. But we've had a home button. We've had the camera. It's all been the same, much like, you know, the iPhone was through its time period. And this is really its iPhone 10 moment. I'm really excited about this. So the 11-inch one is slightly bigger. I was looking at a graph. It's 2% bigger. Basically, what they did is instead of making it a 4:3 aspect ratio, they took the 10.5 inch iPad Pro, cut off the bezels, and pulled out the right side just a little bit. So it's a little bit wider than it is tall now. So it's a different aspect ratio, which means apps will have to be updated to support that, which will be kind of annoying because that means Google Docs will take a year to be updated to support that. So I'll be running in compatibility mode for a while, which we may have to try something else for Google Docs because or for our notes, because that's gonna drive me nutty.
Oh, no. We're not using Pages, are we?
No, we'll try the Dropbox thing, the paper thing.
Okay. All right.
So that looks pretty cool. The 12.9 inch one is now 25% less volume and significantly lighter. So that's pretty cool. Let's see some other stuff. The camera bump is huge on the 11, but from what I understand, it doesn't wobble when you lay it flat, much like the 10.5. You have a 10.5 one. Can you confirm that it doesn't wobble when you lay it flat?
No, it doesn't wobble at all. I think it's just because the bump is so. Because just by like if you throw a 10 or a 10S on your desk with camera down, it wobbles quite a bit because there's not that much surface area for it to hold it. So that bump is much more significant than a camera bump on the iPad. The iPad is much bigger, but that camera bump is still around the same size, and so it doesn't wobble nearly as much. But yeah, when I throw my 10.5 on my desk, set it down lightly on my desk. And lay it down, it doesn't wobble at all. I will say I have a back case on it now, because I think I decided before this event even came that I'm probably not going to get a new iPad, so I decided that I was going to protect this one as much as I could. So I got a back cover for it. I still have the smart keyboard connected to it, and I also got a glass tempered glass screen protector for it. So it's completely covered. Here's the thing. Works great. I've never noticed it since I put it on.
I hate those things. I hate them with a passion. Hate those. The only one I did, and they did send me this thing. It was completely sent to me, so you can say I was bought off or whatever, is there's one called the Paper-like. And I did a video on it. And I actually really liked that thing because it had this weird texture to it. So when you were using your Apple Pencil on it, it felt like you were actually writing on paper. It was really cool. That's the only one I've ever liked because it added functionality to it.
Right, yeah.
But back to the main event. The bezels, there's still bezels there, like I was saying, and there's minimalist bezels, but there's enough for you to still hold on to the device. I saw a lot of people concerned that they were going to the bezels were just going to disappear and like you'd be holding on to the screen part and you'd be accidentally tapping on stuff. Not the case. There's just enough to hold on to it comfortably, it looks like. So that's really interesting. The speakers are louder. Apparently, I was looking at some of the documentation, and the tweeter and the subwoofer are separate. So I'm kind of curious what that sounds like. It should be louder, but the speakers themselves are smaller. It doesn't take up as much space in the iPad.
Mm-hmm. Quick question for you, since you've been looking. So I'm looking at my 10.5 inch iPad right now. If you look at the 10.5, there's a forehead and a chin for the camera and the home button. But the left and right side of the iPad, if you're looking at portrait, has very small bezels. Is that around the same size for the new ones? Have you looked at the comparisons on those yet?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen photos, and it looks like it's a little smaller, but it's photos, so that could be very misleading. I plan on kind of going to the Apple store when these things come out and looking at all the sizes and side by side and playing with the 12.9 and stuff. I have an Apple store pretty close to me, so I can go there and take a look.
Because I would argue if it's the same width or maybe a millimeter or two difference, I think it's the perfect amount of bezel you need with an iPad.
Okay.
Any less than that would be detrimental. But I've held my iPad in my hand while reading something on the couch or whatever, and I've never had a problem with it before. So if it's around that length of bezel, then it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. And I would love to see comparison. So if someone has a 10.5 and they got the new one, let me know what the bezels look like. Like, tweet me a photo at it or something, or find me online and you can show me it. But I'm genuinely curious if that's kind of the measurements that they wanted to stick with when it came to the iPad.
Yes.
The iPad bezels, I should say. So I'm curious with that. But yeah, the bezels, I'm happy to see that I never thought I would say this, but I'm happy to see some bezel on this iPad, because I was worried that if there wasn't any, it could be disastrous, and they would eventually have to lead to software additions to it to where it would make it so it's less haptic on the very edge of each app. I don't know what they would do if it was completely bezel-less.
I don't think they would do it. I think it wouldn't pass their testing. I never really thought that was something to worry about. I knew a lot of people freaked out about it, but Apple and their employees and their executives use these devices before they come out, and if it's not usable, they're not going to release it. Like they're really good about that stuff. And something like that would have been caught.
Yeah. So they have new screen stuff for it too, while we're on the subject of screens.
Yeah, so screen stuff, the liquid, I kind of called this in our preview, our draft or guess or whatever we want to call it episode.
Just our predictions. Predictions.
It did get the liquid retina. There's some stuff that came out today that it actually, it's gone backwards in a couple areas, that it doesn't have HDR and stuff like that, but there's some other tech in it, so I'm not sure. I'm kind of reserving my judgment on the screen until I get one, and then I'll put my 12.9 and this one side by side, and kind of like I have some like test clips and stuff from some production houses that I'll play on both and kind of see what looks good where. And I don't know how I will capture that on video. Maybe I'll just end up having to write that up in a blog post because I don't have something that could film in HDR. Plus, so it wouldn't transfer over. So I don't know how that exactly will work. I don't know how I'm going to report on that one, but, somebody will probably beat me to it, to be honest. But that'll be interesting. I'm excited to see the liquid retina. I was in the Apple store the other day, and because the iPhone XRs came out, and I was kind of just looking around, and I really like those screens. Like they're really nice. Like I like the OLED on my iPhone, but I don't want an OLED on my iPad. I think this is the best screen for the iPad.
Yeah. I think if there was an OLED screen, the price would jump up another $100 to $200.
$300 to $400. Just the size alone. OLED screens are so expensive. The OLED screen's the most expensive product in the iPhone X, XS, and XS Max. Like it's the most expensive. I think I saw somewhere that it was like $230 just for this screen.
Wow.
For one. And don't quote me on that, because that could be like wildly wrong. But it is the most expensive product on the deal. So on the device. So I'm not surprised at all. I don't think we will get OLED screens anytime soon. I think OLED screens will either have to come down in price, or it will just skip OLED altogether and just move to the next affordable screen tech.
Yeah. So there's one thing I'm curious to see what your solution is to this problem. There's no headphone jack anymore with these new iPads.
Yeah, this is kind of – I want to know why. Usually I don't demand answers or anything. Usually I can kind of understand the reasoning behind something. But this is one of those things if I ever like run into an Apple executive at a bar, I will corner them and demand why. I don't get it. The iPads are big enough. Unless there's like something to do with like the screen, it being in the way of the screen or something, I really don't get it. We did get USB-C on this thing, and I've been kind of looking around. I was asking around on Twitter to a few people, and I've been looking around for some sort of like USB port replicator. And my thought is I only ever use the headphone jack when we're recording this podcast, because I use my AirPods for everything now.
Yeah.
So what I'm kind of looking for is some sort of USB port replicator that plugs into the U.S. Well, I guess we'll talk about this right now, is the iPad Pros now have USB-C instead of Lightning, which I think is a great thing.
I think it was the best decision made for that iPad.
I was kind of rocky about it when it was first rumored, but after sitting on it and thinking about it for a while, I'm all for USB-C on the iPad. I wish there was two ports and not just one, because two ports would have made sense, but there's no way it would have happened.
No.
I think what I'm trying to find is and I think I found it, but it's kind of expensive, is a USB port replicator that has two USB-C ports, two USB-A ports, SD card reader, headphone jack, and maybe possibly for bonus ports, Ethernet. So that would kind of like basically... Essentially, what I'm thinking is it would be the new dock for my iPad. You know how I made a video about making a USB dock for your iPad Pro, like using the Lightning deal and then like the little anchor dock that I have, or the anchor hub? So basically, I want to do that, but for USB-C. Oh, HDMI is the other thing I want on there, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But I think with that, if I can find something like that and make it work, all my stuff will just plug into that, and it should just work like magic. That being said, I don't know if that's going to work. I have a few USB-C peripherals and stuff sitting in my Amazon cart right now, waiting for payday because my bank account got cleared out thanks to Apple.
Yeesh.
It's okay. Payday's tomorrow. So I'm going to order those, and I'm going to test those out, and I'll do a whole video on those. I promise I will find the best possible one and do a video on that, because what I'm thinking is I want to try this external monitor support. So iPads have always been able to plug into monitors. With USB-C, they're kind of like, hey, this is like sanctioned. Like, you can work like this. I found this out. I didn't realize this was already like blessed. Apps can display something different on an external monitor than what's on the iPad screen. That's not something new with these new iPads. That's something that's already been around. I didn't realize that, actually. To be fair, I've never plugged my iPad into an external monitor.
Because why would you?
Yeah, exactly. But LumaFusion, the app I use for video editing, has been talking for a while now of adding external monitor support so you can watch your video clips on an external monitor while you're editing. And that would be pretty cool. Something like Ferrite and having your timeline up there, or not timeline, but your whole like editing tracks and stuff up there would be cool. Like, I could see some definite use cases for it. Maybe set up a Bluetooth keyboard monitor and just for like writing or something like that. That would be pretty interesting, a little more ergonomic. But my idea is I want to build a whole docking station for my desk around USB-C.
Okay. I mean, you're going to have a lot of dongles.
I don't think so. Like, I think if I just find that one port replicator that has all the right ports and it works with the iPad Pro, I think I'll be okay. I think it should work just fine. We will see. The USB-C port replicators, for good ones, they're not cheap. The one that I'm looking at is about $130.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's even more than the Apple Pencil. Actually, no, that is the Apple Pencil price.
oh, they went up $30 to the Pencil, too?
Yeah, it's like $129 now. Yeah. But you can have it engraved, but the engravings are so short, you can't have like the Untitled site engraved on it or like May the Force Be With You. Like, it's really short what you can have engraved on there. So
what is it, like 4 characters?
I don't know what the limit is, but I tried like before we started recording, mine didn't get engraved because I was afraid it would get delayed if I did an engraving. But before we started recording, I was playing around with it, and everything I could think of that I'd want engraved on there was too long. So I'm like, yeah, no, this is pointless then. Plus, yeah, I don't know. We'll get back to the Apple Pencil in a bit. We're kind of all over the place in this event. If you guys can't tell, we're really excited about iPads.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to some of the things that are part of this new iPad. Face ID is now on the iPad. There's no home button on this, which is why the bezels are so thin.
Woohoo!
And Face ID is now the new way to have a secure way to manage passwords, unlike your iPad, and pay for things on Apple Pay. No more home button to use Touch ID with.
Yes. And one of the interesting things that I heard when the people were in the hands-on area that got invited to the keynote, if you have a keyboard attached to it and you double tap the keyboard, screens off, it'll trigger Face ID then.
Whoa.
So it'll wake it up and trigger Face ID. Yeah. So you just double tap the space bar on the keyboard.
That's so cool.
So that'll be kind of cool to try out and play with. The other thing it does that a few people asked me, it does have touch to wake too on the screen. So you know, on the iPhone XS, XR, X, you can tap the screen and it'll wake itself up. It does have that.
I was curious if that was the case, and then you informed me that the XR does that, and they also have a liquid retina LCD screen.
Yeah, I always thought that was going to be like an OLED thing only, but then the XR did it. So whatever they did in the liquid retina to screen. They can do it here too. So, yep, nope, it has touch to wake. So, those kind of Face ID, I think I know Face ID is kind of controversial. I know there's a lot of people that miss Touch ID. I think Face ID is better because I get clammy hands and stuff like that. And sometimes Touch ID doesn't work. I know that's kind of disgusting to talk about, but it's the truth and it's life. And sometimes people, like, you know, I work in hot areas, and like the town I live in the summertime, on average, it's like around 110 Fahrenheit here. So like it's, you know, people sweat. So Face ID for me, way better. I love Face ID, so I'm super excited about this. Touch Awake, great, all that stuff. I'm good for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that they took the home button away from the iPads and they put it into the new MacBook Air.
They also put the headphone jack too there.
Yeah, they put the headphone jack in there too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's what happened because we didn't mention this, but the Touch ID is now in the MacBook Air. So I think that they just took that and moved it over there. Is there anything about these new iPads that worry you, or things that you think that should have been on here that aren't? Besides, you know, a headphone jack and another USB-C port. Like, do you wish that there was something else on these new iPads? You know, because I know you already bought one. You've already made the commitment to get one, but. You know, what would have made you buy it just a second faster if you could?
Well, so this I don't think I could have. If I wasn't one of the first 100 people into the Apple Store, then I don't know what I was doing. The Apple Online Store. Honestly, there's a couple of things that let me down, but not to the point where I wouldn't have done it. I was kind of hoping to see some sort of trackpad support, but I think that really requires a major OS update. And that doesn't require a major iPad update. That would just require a new keyboard case. So maybe with iOS 13, we don't just at WWDC, we don't get a new iPad. Maybe we just get a new keyboard case for these current iPads that have a trackpad on them. That would be pretty cool. The other thing that let me down is, you'll remember from our predictions episode, that I went big into thinking there would be pro apps for the iPad. I went all in. I was ready to bet money. I was ready for that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We didn't get any pro apps.
We both got it wrong, because I thought there was going to be like an illustration app. Like, there was no mention at all about these new logos that they were using for the invites. There was no mention about that in any way during this keynote. I thought it was such an easy way for them to bring in something to do with illustrations and things that they could do. They didn't even mention about it in the Photoshop thing with the new iPads. Like, nothing of this was mentioned after the fact that the invites were sent and that they were used in as like a movable image kind of thing prior to the keynote starting online. That's the only significance that those invites and those new logos that they had for the Apple event invites. Like, I wish I would have seen more from them. And I was totally on board with them bringing a new illustration app. So we were both wrong on the fact that they were going to bring some sort of new pro application in play that Apple was going to support. And whether it be Logic and Final Cut or some sort of illustration app.
Yeah, I think that illustration app is Photoshop. Like, as much as Apple and Adobe have been talking each other up, yeah, Phil Schiller was at Adobe Max, which is Adobe's big keynote thing. I think that would have been awkward if Apple would have brought out an illustration app at the same time Adobe's like finally bringing Photoshop for the iPad. Not saying it won't ever happen. I just think that would have been like just looking at corporate partnerships and stuff like that, I think that would have just been weird timing on that half, because it'd have been like, yay, thanks Adobe for bringing your app here. Here's our app that competes directly with this. So, and I know Photoshop isn't really meant to be an illustration app.
That was going to be my argument.
Yeah, but even on stage, they were using it as an illustration app. Like, their demo was illustration. It was not a photo that they edited. And I know plenty of people that don't use Illustrator that just know Photoshop that will do their illustration stuff in Photoshop too. So, I get the argument. Maybe later. I just thought Logic, because, hey, you know, Music Academy, iPad Pro event, Pro apps, it really felt like it was time. Like, this seemed like the event to go, oh, by the way, this isn't just hardware. Here's some cool new software to go along with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it would have been nice to see something like that, but, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see if they do that later on, because clearly Adobe has proven that the fact that these pro applications can be made. I'm sure, and I know Affinity also has a bunch of really great apps out there. Ferrite is a great audio editing system, but my point is that, like, top-tier AAA software players are now going all in on the iPad, and I think Apple should do so as well with the new iPad Pros. If they want us to really consider this to be a MacBook replacement, they need to continue to upgrade the software and the apps available for it and make Pro apps available for the iPad.
And I still think it's coming. Like, I don't think, oh, well, we didn't get it this event and it's gone. I still think Pro apps are coming. I wouldn't be surprised if they're waiting on another major iOS update, maybe something in iOS 13 to deal with Files app or something like that. That could very well be the case, that there's something that they need in another major iOS update before Pro apps are viable or will even work the way they want them to work. Because Apple is a very patient company, and they won't wait to release something until it is working the way they want it to work. I mean, look at the Mac Pro. Like,
I agree. I totally agree. So, I mean, do you have a game plan of what you're going to do when you get this new iPad? Like, what's going to be the first couple of things you do with it?
So we'll get it next Wednesday. Well, I guess that kind of depends on when you're listening. So we're getting it November 7th. So I will probably do some sort of like first look video, not unboxing, because I don't know what the deal with those things are.
I actually like unboxing videos. Like, side note, I really enjoy watching unboxing videos.
Oh, okay. I've never found somebody that has. So you have to answer my question. Why? I don't really get them. Like, it's just like, it's the device. Like, you could go look at product shots of the device. Like, it's nothing like, I don't really see the, like, it's not really a review. It's not really like, hey, here's some cool stuff to do with it. It's just, This is what's in the box.
Well, here's like Apple is one of those companies that has made packaging an experience in the past.
Oh yeah,
and it's always been something I'm interested in seeing whether I get that device or not. Like, even if I got the, like, when I ordered my 10.5, I was watching unboxing videos of it before I got it. You know, like, I was excited to sort of see what was coming with it, the kind of packaging that came with it. And, you know, I understand that it's just, it came with the iPad, a brick, and a cable, and that's it. But I wanted to know what the packaging was going to be looking like, and I wanted to kind of see what kind of quality was put into that before I got my own. But I also just like to kind of just see and see other people experience what's in the box when they get it, you know? Like, it's just something that I enjoy. It's, you know, there's no real quote unquote content in there. Like, there's no information or anything that, like, I couldn't get elsewhere or whatever, but for whatever reason, it's just soothing to me. And it's something that I like to watch, and it's something that I'll watch people do all the time. Like, I just enjoy it, and I like to hear people's opinions and first looks and everything else. Like, I've been watching unbox videos since the iPhone 5, I think, when I first started getting the iOS. So, I mean, you know, it's just been something I've always been interested in.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, to each their own. Like, something that you're interested, go for it.
And if you're not interested in making that video and making it do an unboxing video, then don't do it.
There's going to be 100 iPad Pro unboxing videos. Like, and here's the thing. I didn't get a review unit either. So, like, I'm not going to be the first to review it. I'm not going to be the first to take it out of the box. Like, so my take on this is going to be very much like, my series of videos on this new iPad is going to be very much like somebody that works on the iPad full time. I think there's only a handful of us that work on the iPad full time that, like, talk about this, whether it's on YouTube or a blog or whatever. I think there's a lot of people that work on the iPad and a Mac, or an iPad and a PC or whatever. And that's fine. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I think I have a unique perspective of being somebody that edits video, edits podcasts, just create stuff on an iPad. And that's going to be kind of my take. I think you were asking me what one of the first things I'm going to do with this thing, and it's going to be run that A12X processor through its paces. I am going to make that thing bleed. I have a 4K video project sitting aside for that thing, and as soon as it comes in, I'm going to try rendering it. I'm going to pull up my 12.9 Gen 2 iPad Pro. I'm going to pull up my 11-inch iPad Pro. I almost said Gen 3, but I guess it's technically the first of its generation. And then I'm gonna export this video and just see what happens. And because I was looking at the Geekbench scores for, like, what the A12 is and stuff like that, and the A12 is significantly faster than what the just the A12 itself is faster than what the A10X, which is what is in the 10.5 and 12.9. previous gen, second generation iPad Pros.
Yeah.
They skipped A11X, doesn't exist. It's really confusing because of, like, the timing and stuff. So I'm kind of glad they made it in sync with the iPhone. So I really want to see how the processor works. I really want to see the speed improvements. I'm really curious about that. I want to see how I just want to see how it feels. Like right now, I'm not going to lie, like my 12.9 iPad Pro, it's fast, but I'm pushing up against things. Like when I'm exporting video and when I have a, 15 minute timeline of 4K video, it starts to feel a little sluggish. So I'm really curious. That's another reason why I was kind of a little bummed I didn't get the 6 gig RAM model, but man, whoo, pricing. I can't justify it right now. Maybe in a few months, I will get the 12.9. That'll be like my desktop iPad, and that'll be like the one I do all my video editing on. And but the A12X, like, I'm super excited about it. It's an 8-core processor, 8-core CPU. 4 of those cores are for high-end processing, 4 for low-end. When it does the high-end, it runs all 8. 7-core GPU. I want to talk about the GPU for just a minute. They did a demo, and normally the game demos, I kind of start to roll my eyes and like, okay, great. It has really good graphics. They brought out the, it's like some NBA game. I'm sorry, I don't play sports video games, so I really don't.
NBA 2K Mobile.
Thank you. I really don't know anything about sports at all. It's not an act. I really just don't. So they brought out this game, and they compared it to the Xbox One S graphics. Now, I do know what this means. The Xbox One S is a current in-production Xbox. It's not the highest-end one. It's not the 4K, 60 frames per second crazy one. It's the moderate one. But it's a moderate console, current generation graphics that they're comparing this to. And obviously, I don't think iPad gaming is going to an iPad's obviously going to be like a console competitor. I think a lot of it is going to have, mostly because they don't ship a controller with the thing. Like, nobody's going to sit there and play this game with their thumbs and stuff on a 12.9-inch iPad. If they shipped a controller with it, or if Apple made a controller with it, that might be a different story.
Yeah, but I have to say, I have played console level games on my iPad 10.5. Like, I used to play Fortnite when it first came out for iOS on my iPad. I used to play Vainglory, whatever it's called. I've played PUBG Mobile on my iPad. I've played a few other games on my iPad that are kind of graphics intensive. And with the new Elder Scrolls game coming to iOS, I think it'd be probably the best device to use it on an iOS gaming system, And, while not everyone's going to be into the high-end gaming games and stuff like that, but the fact that Apple is putting time and effort into gaming on iOS is good for those that want to have something that they can use for both work and play.
But yes, and I agree. My point with the GPU thing is, showing off graphics in a video game is a great way of showing, hey, we have a really good GPU. And what I'm hoping that means is we start to get like visual effects editors. Maybe I don't like After Effects. I think After Effects is like 5 years away for the iPad Pro. But something like After Effects Mobile or After Effects Lite, something that I could do some sort of animation and some basic stuff with, that would be pretty cool. And with a GPU like that, it would be able to render it in real time and things like that. That's kind of my point. It would be so cool if Adobe brought some sort of like a version of After Effects. I have a note. We talked about this a while ago, and I don't know if you remember, but I have a note sitting in drafts of things that I need to figure out on the iPad, and some sort of After Effects thing is one of them. So I have a feeling Xcode will be knocked off my bucket list in the next 2 to 3 years on that list, and After Effects will become like the new like thing that I want to hunt down and figure out.
Yeah, for sure.
Getting back to the iPad, I think I've been talking a ton. I'm sorry. I'm really excited. What are you excited about? Like what caught your eye that made you go, I kind of want to upgrade, but you didn't. So like, what would get you to upgrade?
There's a lot of things involved in this, but like if money was no object and I didn't have to deal with any
money, no object,
money, no object, I would get one.
Okay.
That's been my like number one reasoning for it.
Well, what excites you about it then?
the thing that excites me the most about it is the new form factor, which I think is an easy cop out, but like I personally love the flat design that the iPhone 5 had and the iPhone SE currently has. I think that design is way, 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 way better than the curvy look.
Used to have. iPhone SE is dead.
Yep. Well, the iPhone SE is dead, but yeah. So, but like my point being is that like I like the flat design of it. I think it's much more cohesive to using it, and I think it's a lot nicer than the curvature look that the 10.5 and below has. I like that a lot. The Apple Pencil looks fantastic. I love the fact that I can snap it onto my iPad, and it's always there, and it has a flat bottom, so it doesn't have to roll anywhere anymore.
Let's talk about that for a second, because we didn't mention that earlier.
Yeah, but like that's one of the big things that like really, really sold me is that the new Apple Pencil got really. I think it's smaller too, right? It's a little bit smaller.
I don't think it's as long, but I think it might be like thicker. I think it. Again, I haven't held anything. I'm just going off via photos, but to me, it looks like it's a bit thicker. It has a flat edge for you to put your finger there, and I don't think it's as long, so it's not as awkward to hold. I think ultimately that'll make it a slightly more ergonomic as well. The flat edge, as you mentioned earlier, has a gesture feature, so you could double tap on it, and depending on what app you're using, you can program that to do different things. You were right when you said I think the app needs to leave it up to the users to pick what you can do. I think ultimately that. I saw like Apple Notes. They said, you know, you double tap on it, it'll move through brushes and stuff like that. And in Photoshop, it'll zoom in and zoom out. The Apple Notes thing, that's fine. There's not a whole lot of functionality in there. But Photoshop, there's so much to do in there. I want to be able to choose what the heck that gesture does. Like if it's just zoom in and zoom out, that's cool. That saves a lot of time. But pinching in and pinching out on the screen is also pretty quick too. Like I'd rather be able to like move to a brush or something right away.
Yeah, for sure. Or any kind of tool. Like you should be able to choose. And I'm hoping that can be decided and it can be used because the developers over at Wujijuice that do Ferrite, they have probably the most comprehensive ability for you to map any keyboard shortcut to any kind of thing on there. And they've got different built-in layouts that you can use. If you're familiar with Logic Pro, they've got those built in. If you're familiar with GarageBand, those are built in. If you're familiar with any other kind of Adobe Audition, those are built in. Like you're able to customize everything. And I think that's a good foundation to have with a pro app like that. And adding the Apple Pencil gesture to it, I think would be worthwhile and useful. But yeah, the Apple Pencil really, really got my attention, really got me excited for it. It also doesn't charge with the end cap anymore. It snaps onto the iPad and it charges magnetically.
And that's how it pairs too.
And that's how it pairs as well. But it looks like the pencil magnet or the magnet in the iPad that connects to the pencil, however it's built, is really strong because like in the video that you saw people shaking it and making sure the iPad didn't move anywhere. Like it's really on there. And I think that's really good to have. And I think that was one thing that was lacking when it came to making the iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil seem like they were built to be together. You know, I think that was just one thing that was missing. And now seeing the fact that the keyboard connects to the iPad and the Apple Pencil connects to the iPad and you can carry them all. You can carry all three items simultaneously. That to me is really, really nice and really cool. And I think that was one of the biggest selling points for me to think about getting a new iPad, which I'm not, but man, was that cool to see. Do you know anything about the new smart connector? Is there a new smart connector? Is it still three pins?
So the smart connector is on the back of the iPad now. There is a magnetic attachment down on the bottom where the smart connector used to be. And that's so it sits in place. What's interesting about the smart connector keyboard, which I did order, is it's kind of like a folio cover is what they call it. So it covers the backside and then like you just lift it up and lay it down and then it covers the front side. So there's no more like this crazy origami thing that you have to do to like get it out and like flip it backside so you can prop it up for video. It's just open it up, snap it into place and you're all good to go, which I really like. Supposedly that makes it also because it's just one flat piece. It makes it easier to work on your lap. since the smart connectors, the one thing that kind of annoys me is the Folio keyboard case, whatever it's called, covers up the backside. So it really messes up my sticker game. I got to figure out what I'm going to have to do for stickers now because it completely messes it up. Which is kind of a bummer. The other thing, too, Apple's the only one that made a keyboard for it. There is no Logitech one for it this time, which is the first iPad Pro that Logitech has not made a keyboard for.
Well, they might be making one. They just weren't in on the creation of a new one before it came out.
Yeah, I mean, well, so my thought is at every single iPad Pro event when they announce a new one, either Logitech gets a mention on stage or it's in the press release afterwards that, hey, there's also a Logitech Smart Connector keyboard, either coming or in the works or here's a preview out of it. And there was nothing. It was radio silence. So I have a feeling, and the people get mad at me every time I say this, but I've talked to enough people. The last one was an utter disaster. The last keyboard they made for the second gen iPad Pros, the one where the keyboard snapped off and they had like the Surface style back, there was nothing slim about that thing. It was huge. It was thicker than my 2014 MacBook Pro.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's not the current ones with the USB-C or Thunderbolt 3. Like, no, that was the one with lots of ports that everybody loves. It was thicker than that. So like it was not slim. That was, I hate it. I'm surprised Apple let them call it that, but they probably didn't have any, whatever. Anyways.
I don't think they had a choice. I think Logitech just paid for the license and then they did whatever the fuck they wanted to it.
Yeah. I hated that. So I'm thinking that thing didn't sell very well. I'm thinking they're like, hey, we're not going to make another one. Hopefully somebody else. I saw some people say, hopefully Bridge makes a keyboard. I don't know. I would like to see some other smart connector peripherals, but this Apple keyboard case, it's fine. I just wish it had a function row and backlit keys.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would allow that to be a thing too, because now you can use the USB-C port on your iPad Pro and actually use it to charge other items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can charge your iPhone.
Yeah, which is another cool thing that I thought was nice. I would never use it personally. I always have my phone charged up pretty well, and the battery life on my iPhone X has been great.
I'd want it to go the other way.
You'll drain your iPhone battery in like less than an hour to get this thing up to 10 more percent. Like,
yep.
But I would have liked to have seen them to allow backlighting and a function row, because at least on the 12 they could have had a function row and backlighting for both. I felt that could have been done. Whether that makes the keyboard case a little bit thicker to allow for the LEDs to fit in there, then so be it. But just give the people what they want, and what they want is a backlit keyboard. Arguably, if you turn the brightness up high enough when you're in the dark area where you need backlit keys, it should illuminate the keys pretty well. But I don't like that. Even on my MacBook, if I'm working on something late at night and I have the lights off and I just turn the backlight on the keyboard and I'm good. So I think it would have been nice to see that for the iPad Pro keyboards.
I have this mythical keyboard in my head where it's kind of a laptop style clamshell keyboard where it's got a trackpad, backlighting keys, function row. I think like something like that would be cool. We have to keep in mind, and everyone on every podcast has said this, but it's really true, and we need to really keep this in mind when we're thinking about these iPads. iOS 12 is meant to have a bunch of iPad features. Hardware lead time for devices is so long that this iPad was planned to be along with the iPad features that were supposed to be in iOS 12. Those iPad features got pushed to iOS 13, as rumored, for stability and performance improvements. It really needed stability and performance improvements. But there's stuff that's supposed to come in iOS 13 that did not come in iOS, that was supposed to be in iOS 12 for this iPad, and it's not there. And that could be things like trackpad support, external hard drive support, better files app, all sorts of different things. So I think we got to keep that in mind. I know that's something that I'm keeping in the back of my head while I'm going to be reviewing this unit, which, by the way, this is the first iPad I'm ever going to review. I got the second generation iPad so late, I didn't think there was much of a point for me reviewing it. I'm really excited to actually review an iPad.
So I'm excited to see what the review has in it, man. Like I'm genuinely living vicariously through you when it comes to these new iPads.
It's definitely going to be a different take, because I know a lot of people are going to be like, hey, this is a great machine to watch Netflix on and send some email. So mine's going to be a very much different take. I was channeling The Verge there. Did you notice that?
No. Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, let's move on from that. Let's see. Do we have anything else we need to kind of cover here really quick? We're passing.
There's two things that I wanted to cover. So you were kind of, and you and among other people were kind of upset the fact that the iPad Pro only comes in silver and black.
Yes.
And I have a theory on this.
Oh, yes. That's right. You had a theory. We need to hear your theory.
I did. Well, my theory is that Apple is allowing the fun colors be for the low end stuff, which is why you see the iPhone XS and XS Max only have what I think is silver, black, and gold. And while the XR has a plethora of fun colors and things like that. And then you look at the MacBook, not the MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro, but the MacBook comes with the gold. I think it has rose gold too now.
No, it dropped rose gold.
Okay.
There's a new gold finish that's basically gold between gold and rose gold.
Okay. So those have the gold ones. If you look at the MacBook Pro line, you can only get space gray and silver. And that's the same way for the iPad Pros now. I think that's kind of how Apple is doing all of this, is that the Pro lines is silver and space gray only. The entry-level stuff is going to have all these fun colors, but it's only for the entry-level stuff like the XR or the MacBook. The MacBook Air as well is getting gold. So I think that's their decision when it comes to, you know, what colors, you know, go where and what they do and everything else. You know, that's my theory when it comes to the colors of the devices, that Pro devices from Apple is space gray and silver only.
Yeah, I really don't like that. Yeah, it just bones me out. Like, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but I spend a lot of money on these products. I already told you guys what I bought. You can look it up. It's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you went to the store and bought gum.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like an option for a color. Like, I just think silver and gray are just really boring, and I don't know. I don't want to harp on it too much. I know people think I complain about Apple too much already. Like, they may not listen to ATP.
I mean, the thing about that, though, is that, like, I really, really care about Apple and what they do and the products that they create and everything. And that's why I'm so critical on them, is that it's not the fact that I want to be here and say that Apple's horrible and Apple's doing all these awful things and they're the ones that keep updating their software and make it so the old phones go bad. Do you ever hear that one, Chris? I hear that one every time I talk to anybody about Apple.
Oh, God.
I don't do that kind of stuff. I generally care about the items and I generally want people to have a good experience with them. And if Apple is doing something differently where it's not a good experience for them, or they could be doing something better to offer a better experience to the users or offer something better for the devices for the users to use, that's where I get critical. I'm critical on them as constructively as possible. I'm not here to tell people that Apple is awful. I'm also not here to tell people that Google is awful. There are some things that Google does that I'm not a fan of, but there's also some things that I wish that Apple could kind of borrow or take away from that and implement it in their own personal way. Like, I'm not here to say which side is better, and same thing with the Mac or the iPad. Like, I'm not here to say one thing is better than the next. I'm here to say that this could be done better. And there's a better solution to these problems that could be offered to people to consume. And that's entirely where I'm at with this kind of stuff. And so when people say you're too critical on it, or when people complain about us complaining about Apple, the reason that we do it is because it's out of love. And it's the same reason why I would do it with a sibling that's kind of fucking up their life. You know, like it's the same idea. It's the same concept. And you want them to do better, so you tell them the things that they could do, they should be better on. And tell them that when they're doing things that are wrong, that they need to fix them. That's it. That's rant over. But that's kind of where I am at this point when I tell people that I'm tired of people saying that I'm complaining about Apple, because I'm not complaining just to complain. I'm complaining because I'm critical of them and what they do. I care deeply about this company and I care deeply about what they do. And that's why you and I both create content about it and circle our calendars around events like this. We care deeply about this and we're critical on them. It's not just complaining to complain.
Yep. Like, let's kind of like pick like one thing that we are really looking forward to seeing added to the future of the iPad? Like just kind of like, not necessarily, hey, this needs to be added, it's the end of the world, but like, let's kind of like pick one thing where we see the iPad going in the next year. Like, let's put a year limit on it between now, this October and next October. Let's keep it iPad Pro specific. Well, you know what? No, it's a show about the iPad. Let's open it up to the whole iPad. We didn't say iPad Pro.
All right. I have one. I would like to see a bigger size for the iPad. Not the iPad Pro, but the iPad. Whether it be the 11-inch and it just has the LCD that's not glued to the screen and maybe a little bit lower specs on it. Whether they put like an A10X chip in there, or an A12 chip, whatever one is just a step above what the current consumer iPad has. Just a small upgrade there, but allow it to be a little bit bigger. I think that would be really, really nice to allow people that want a bigger screen, a bigger canvas. They can already use their Apple Pencil with it. Why not allow them to have a bigger canvas for it, you know? That's one thing I would like to see when it comes to the iPad. The iPad Pro, I think it's a little too soon to tell what things are missing with it, what things we want in the future. Maybe you can enlighten me on that. But I would love to see a bigger canvas just for everyone to use an iPad with.
Yeah, I think my obvious picks would be like Pro Apps or trackpad support, but I've talked about those enough. I think the other thing I'd really like to see is better support for external storage. It's kind of sort of there, but it's for like importing photos into the Photos app. I would like to be able to plug in a hard drive, move files around, open files, edit projects, take an SD card and not have it import straight into Photos, have it import into files, have it go into Dropbox instead or something other than, you know, just the way it is. I'd like to see that. Like, we're trying to keep this upbeat because I think it's really easy to get down on like, hey, this doesn't have it, it'll never have it, it's the end of the world as I know it. But
no, but we're just looking forward and things that we want.
Yeah, and you could see iOS evolving over time. And this is where I'm kind of thinking like, This is my crazy prediction for iOS 13, that I think it'll have better external storage support. And I think USB-C was kind of like the first step for that, because I think there's a lot of things that need to happen, and USB-C was that first step for it. Like, I think like better support for peripherals and things like that. We needed USB-C before we could get that, and that will happen with software.
Yep, for sure.
So our next episode that we're recording, this will be the last episode I record on my 12.9-inch iPad Pro. You've served me well, friend.
Hopefully. There's no headphone jacks. So you have to figure out a way to figure out to get around that.
I have a workaround for that already. Like, I'm not too worried about that one. My next episode will be recorded on – actually, it may not, because of what we're going to talk about. So the next episode will be basically an iPad Pro review. But we're going to have – the way we were kind of talking about it is you were going to ask me questions about it. But we were also thinking, let's open it up too. So why don't you guys go ahead, and if you want, you can tweet at me or Jeff. I'm at Chris_Lawley. That's LAWLEY. We'll have links to all the Twitter handles and stuff. Instead of us going through it, we'll just – if you look in the show notes or go to aslaboglass.com, all the email addresses, all of our Twitter handles and stuff, they're on there. Just get a hold of us in some way. We'll throw it in a document. So if you have questions about the new iPads, the sooner you can get them into us, the better. I'm thinking, when are we going to record next, Jeff?
Probably, I would say Saturday. I don't have a calendar up. Hold on.
So we have an episode coming out on the 16th. So probably Saturday the 10th then?
Yeah, we'll probably do this on Saturday the 10th.
Okay, so Saturday the 10th is going to be the cutoff for asking us questions. Actually, it'll be Friday the 9th. Friday the 9th will be the cutoff, because that's usually when we put together the document. That is the cutoff for asking us questions. So get the questions in. No matter what it is, you know, something about this iPad. If you want to ask something personal, feel free to ask something personal too.
Yeah.
But we're going to put all that in there, and then we'll go through. Jeff's going to ask me some questions, and then we'll answer questions about the iPad as well.
Yeah. And if you don't want to go and find the email addresses or Twitter handles and stuff, if you just go on Twitter and use hashtag ASOG, which is short for a slab of glass, you can use that hashtag. And we'll have an Excel sheet that takes all of those tweets with it and saves them and everything else. So hashtag ASOG. And you can tweet that way too. And that way you can have your question at least in our document and we'll have it there as well. But yeah, we're going to be doing some work here for the next week and a half while we get questions from you guys, and hopefully a lot of answers can be given as well for that episode.
And after this episode comes out too, I'll tweet something from the official account and we can retweet it. You can reply to that tweet. We'll make it as easy as possible for you to get your question in, I promise.
100%. Yeah. So with that, Chris, I think that it's I'm going to bid you adieu with you and your 12.9 iPad, and I will say hello to you next episode with your 11-inch iPad and hear everything that you have with it. I'm excited to see what you have, what brings for you again, because I'm living vicariously through you right now.
You could buy your own. I'm just kidding. I know you're getting married. You're getting married. Jeff has a wedding to pay for. If he didn't have the wedding, I'd be pounding him more. No, I'm just kidding. Like, I totally get it.
Buy me an iPad, audience. Do it.
Register for one. Dude, weddings, man. Weddings.
I've already talked to Courtney about this. It's not happening. I can't do that.
Give me Courtney's phone number. I'll call her. I'll make it happen.
Sure. 555.
Klondike, 555. That's Mr. Plow. About 3% of our audience got that reference.
I'm surprised it's that high. All right. We got to say goodbye before we go into another.
Yeah, I will talk to you later, Jeff.
You too, Chris. I'll see you on the new iPad.